you know, the real opportunity is to be a pawn with the labels and try and generate money for music that's being stolen, mostly through the pirate sites, that they'll never get money from people who are never going to pay. You know, that's the very simple premise of this. And, you know, what do you do about that? I mean, the issue of, you know, global piracy exists and has been going on for quite some time. And, you know, there has been attempts at finding solutions. And quite frankly, if you can't beat them and you can't join them, there needs to be a third option, right?
That was Lance Ford, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer for Spiral Frog. This is PodTech News. It's Wednesday, September 6th. I'm Matt Kelly. The world's largest music catalog will soon be available for download, courtesy of a deal announced today between Spiral Frog, the new online ad-supported music destination, and EMI Group PLC. The announcement is the second in as many weeks for Spiral Frog, the latest music service to go up against iTunes. The company's goal is to be a viable service while at the same time combating piracy by offering legal downloads of audio and video content licensed from the catalogs of the world's major and independent record labels. I spoke with Lance about the announcement.
We believe that the confluence of, you know, broadband access in this country, along with all with advertising dollars flooding from traditional media to the internet, sort of created this perfect storm to create this new ad model, where advertisers are desperate to reach these teenagers and, you know, 20-somethings who are real brand savvy but terribly elusive and very attention deficit. But we know they love music. I mean, music is this fantastic common denominator, and such a powerful communications. So we said, okay, well, let's find a way to create that scenario, and then talk to the labels. We've got a pretty powerful board behind us. People like Jay Berman and Francis Preston and Richard Rowe and Ralph Simon, and they've helped us develop these relationships. And so now we have strategic partners with labels, and hopefully we'll have more to come in the future. That's what we do and who we are. We'll split the advertising revenue with the labels and get the money for music they wouldn't get money for otherwise.
Can you explain how it will work?
We're building a very cool and complete music website that will surround the core competency of that website, which is, you know, the ability to download music. So what happens is, and there's a 90-second download time per song, and while that song is downloading, we are going to entertain our users and our fans on the site with the information that will be available to them on artists and concert information, hopefully some videos and interviews and concert footage. So while all the and many other things to keep them occupied and keep them on our site, and while that is happening, the download will happen. There's literally a download manager, which is an icon which is the timeline of the download, which will follow you around wherever you are on our site. And as you're turning pages and viewing new information, we'll serve advertising, and as we turn more pages, serve more advertising, we generate revenue, and that revenue is then split with the label. Then the song is downloaded, you go back, you type in a code, and it's yours. And then you'll be queuing up songs, one hopes and assumes, and then you'll have such a great time doing that and so happy about it that you're going to download another song. It's not unlike Hotmail, actually. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. Everything that we, all the research we've done, and we've done a lot on, you know, the LimeWire consumer, if you like, you know, the girl goes to those sites. They're on those sites, you know, almost every day, downloading any number of songs, you know, on each visit. So we know that there's a sort of a perpetual motion, if you like, to this habit of going and getting music and getting what you want when you want it. So the idea of someone coming back once a month, which is what we're asking them to do, seems like it's not much of a burden. You know, we get the sense that if they've had a good time on our site, they will come back very regularly. And if they do, and when they do, all the songs that they had previously downloaded, those licenses will be renewed automatically at that time. So they won't even know that, you know, the songs expire because of the nature of their habits in terms of coming back on a very regular basis. But if they don't, we will then try and contact them and remind them that, by the way, you do need to come back and visit us for you to keep your songs. So we're going to try and have a very open communication with them. Just tell them what you know. Here are the very good things that we offer you. You know, is there a catch? Yeah, there's a couple of catches. Here they are. You know, but hopefully they won't get in the way of you spending time with us.
Can you explain the DRM protections of this service?
It's not iPod compatible. And it will be portable to two players. And you cannot burn.
Vivendi just announced a deal to purchase the music catalog of BMG. Vivendi is a division of Universal. How does that play into the Spiral Frog Universal announcement that was made last week?
They are separate announcements, and you know that thing happened after we had negotiated a contract with UMG, obviously, which we announced last week. And I can't comment on what that will mean for us, because we don't know. We can only imagine with our relationship with UMG, it will probably be a good thing. But we haven't had any discussions about it yet.
Sony announced the acquisition of Grouper. Does that put Sony BMG Music out of reach for Spiral Frog?
I don't think any of them are out of reach. I think the negotiations are very positive and favorable, meaning that, you know, we all want to work together. They're just complicated by nature of what we, you know, of what they want from us and what we want from them. And I certainly don't want to jinx anything at all, but, you know, we are quite far along with all of the majors and all the independents, and we're going to try and launch with as much music as we can. And ultimately we think that, you know, we'll be pretty successful, because most everyone in the industry believe this is an interesting and probably is, you know, as a business model, is probably the future. If we don't have all the music that we want, all the music that our users want when we go live, we're going to explain to them that who we are, what we're doing, how it works, and we're going to say to them, if you're searching for a song, we don't have it. You know, we're sorry, mate. Here's another song that we do have that you might like that's similar to, and we will make sure that we let the label know that you requested the song, and then what we will do is go back to the labels and say we have, you know, X thousands of requests for this song. Hopefully this will help you understand that we can be a successful partner to you. But as far as the user's concerned, we're going to try and manage any expectations that they have and try and deliver on anything that we don't have in the future.
How have advertisers reacted to this model? Who have you signed up? And can you, you know, be specific?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, it's probably more general, although, you know, it was in the press that we've spoken quite specifically to, you know, a few advertisers, including Perry Ellis International, Benetton. We also have had very general and I don't want to mention them by name, but I'll say the automotive industry as an example is one that is looking to try and find this younger consumer online, making an interesting commitment to the internet, and I think that there will probably be a category that we will be talking to very specifically as we launch and go live. But in general, the idea that with the amount of dollars, I mean, they're talking about advertising dollars are projected to be $16.5 billion online this year. So a lot of and I think it was $12 billion last year. So that money is coming from, you know, traditional media to the internet. And everyone's looking for new opportunities. If you like, the second coming of the internet is more strategic than it was the first time. But there are many traditional advertisers who realize that they've got to be there, and they're trying to find creative ways to execute their campaigns, and that they really are interested in us because not only can we create critical mass, we can also target, because we're asking, you know, the download application, we're going to ask four bits of information, so that we're going to have some, you know, pretty huge data capture on this whole thing, and we'll be able to identify, you know, age, gender, zip code, and even email.
Any final thoughts on the Spiral Frog EMI deal and the Spiral Frog Universal deal?
All I can say, Matt, is that, you know, these things don't come easy. You know what I mean? It's, you know, the contract negotiations, as I said, are, you know, are complicated and should be. This is sort of, you know, something of a paradigm shift, and I think the idea that we've managed to do this is reasonably historic and bodes well for the fact that we should be doing business with the other labels should be our partners very soon. I think that, you know, will create, you know, I think this will represent a significant change in how people find solutions to very difficult issues. And the difficult issue here is piracy. You know, you plug one hole in the dam and three others come out, and you legislate against these people and you can't put them out of business. You don't know where they are. How do you protect, you know, intellectual property in the digital, you know, in this digital era? And, you know, I think we found a very interesting solution to it. And I think that in that regard, it could be historic.
Headquartered in New York City, the Spiral Frog website will launch in beta in December 2006. For Podtech News, I'm Matt Kelly.